Episode number 34 of the MVP is brought to you by our sponsor, Stamps.com. Small businesses come in all shapes and sizes these days, but no matter where you run your business, be it in a traditional office setting or your home office, you can do all of your mailing and shipping right from your own computer and printer with Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and your own printer. Stamps.com, I'm telling you, they make it easy. They will send you a free digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter. Plus, you never have to go to the post office again. Dark Overlord Media uses them all the time. For example, A Real Girl just shipped out over 150 t-shirts to 8 countries all across the world using Stamps.com, using her own computer, her own printer. We don't just endorse it, we use it! And right now, use my last name, Sigler, for this special offer of a no-risk trial, plus $110 in bonus goodies, which includes that digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Sigler. That's Stamps.com, enter S-I-G-L-E-R. And now, on with our Galaxy Bowl story! Welcome to The MVP, Book 4 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by author Scott Sigler. The MVP is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel, along with Book 1, The Rookie, Book 2, The Starter, and Book 3, The All-Pro, is available as a full-length, unabridged digital audiobook download as an ebook for Kindle, Nook, iPad, iPhone, Android, or any EPUB-compatible device, and in paperback. The MVP is also available as a signed, numbered, limited-run collector's edition hardcover while supplies last. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/store. Hello, junkies, and welcome to the MVP number 34. We are dead smack in the middle of the Galaxy Bowl. It's a humdinger. It is your Ionath Krakens against the Don Pine-led Jupiter Jacks. The episode is so long and beefy and meaty, it's going to take a few episodes to get through it. This episode is going to get us past the first half into the locker room and possibly give you a chunk of the second half. Oh, it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy. And yes, the anguish is going to hurt just a little bit. All those new GFL team t-shirts we told you about, Sheb Stalkers, Y'all Criminals, Buddhist City Elite, ISIS Ice Storm, those have all shipped, along with any of the Black Keep Calm and Run the Plays That I Call t-shirts. Those have all been shipped. The orange special order Keep Calm and Run the Plays That I Call t-shirts have not yet shipped, so don't be looking for those just yet, but they will be going out very, very soon. Balticon was a blast. A Real Girl and I have returned from one of our favorite cons where we see a bunch of our favorite people. I'm not even going to list it because it would take too long to say all the names. And on top of that, I would forget some people. And then I would feel bad. This is another buckle down and get shit done month. June, clearing out a ton of my backlog. My next novel, Flyer, getting the first draft of that done. The next novel in print is going to be Pandemic in January, but Flyer will be the next one that my agent is going to take out to publishers and shop that around. We're getting all of the Dark Overlord books into Google Play. We are getting feedback to all the folks who are co-authoring GFL novellas, and we are starting principal recording for the audiobook for the young adult version of The Rookie. So this audiobook will match the text, which will mean there's no swearing in it. So if you want a copy of the mature audiences version, where John Tweedy kind of stands out, you're going to want to snag that now. And after this episode, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the coolest American football player in the UK who happens to love the GFL. Now I won't make you wait anymore. Let's get into it. We're in the middle of the dang Galaxy Bowl. Here we go. The MVP episode number 34. Injuries were part of the sport. Quentin didn't wish one on any player, but when the stadium lights shone down on a med sled carrying Don Pine off the field, Quentin knew the game had changed. The Jacks' backup quarterback would have trouble moving the ball. If Quentin played conservative, didn't turn the ball over, and made sure they got at least a field goal on this drive to take a 10-7 lead into the locker room at halftime, the Krakens would be well on their way to a GFL title. On the first play, Quinn rolled left and found Denver for a 13-yard gain to take them to the Jupiter 27. They tried Jew off tackle right on the second play, but it was stuffed for a 2-yard loss. The offensive line couldn't open holes for Jew, and the big running back was getting frustrated. Other than his touchdown catch, the Jacks had kept him mostly contained. On second down, Quinn backpedaled and flipped a quick screen pass to Becca. She hauled it in, turning upfield, cutting left and right as she followed the big body of Michael Kimberlin. Linebackers drove in, bringing Becca down for a 7-yard gain. Third and 5 on the Jupiter 20, 1 minute 38 seconds to play and counting. Ionath huddled up. Several of Quinn's teammates were already bleeding, their mud-covered jerseys rumpled and streaked with white from plants that made up the ravaged field. In the huddle's back row, Jew breathed hard, clouds of vapor billowing out of his mouth.
Q, give me the damn ball, he said. I can get the first down.
Shut up,
Quentin said.
No talking in my huddle.
Quentin's heads-up display slid out of its recessed housing in his helmet to show the holographic face of Hokor the Hookchest.
Barnes, what do you think?
The Krakens needed 5 yards for the first down. A first down gave them a shot at a touchdown and a 14-7 lead. Normally on third and 5, Quentin would pass, but he didn't want to risk an interception or a sack and a fumble.
Coach, let's run it, Quentin said. Jew thinks he can get the first. If he doesn't, we kick the field goal and take a lead into the locker room.
Agreed,
Hokor said.
That defensive line has to give up some yards sooner or later. I set trap left.
Quentin tapped his helmet to make the heads-up display slide into its housing. He called the play and saw Jew smile. At the line, Quentin scanned the defense. The Jacks linemen were getting bloody as well, the small tears and rips of their already dirty metallic uniforms a testament to the ongoing battle. He looked right and saw Zhu Chang in single coverage on Halawa. Quentin considered audibling to a quick slant. Halawa could run that route to perfection, but would she stay inside of the all-pro cornerback?
Don't risk it. Keep it on the ground. Let Jew do his thing.
Blue 88! Blue 88! Hut, hut, hut!
The ball slapped into his hands. He turned as Becca shot by on yet another mission to block the Jacks linebackers, then handed the ball to Jew. The running back stutter-stepped, looking for a hole. He slid between Kilo Yoet and Shoto Thicket, who fought against their gold-jerseyed opponents. Quentin saw Becca try to block Catan the beheader, but he got lower than her and knocked her on her ass. He came free. Jew planted to spin, but a chunk of white turf gave way. His right foot slid wide, too wide. Catan lowered his shoulder and put Jew hard to his back. A 3-yard gain, no first down. The Krakens would have to kick the field goal. Quentin started off the field when he noticed that Jew hadn't got up. The big running back lay on the ground, rolling side to side in pain. Quentin's heart sank. It looked like Jew might have pulled a groin muscle. Doc Patak could fix cuts, stop bleeding, even worked on cracked and broken bones, but pulled muscles were far harder for game day fixes. If it was, in fact, a pulled groin, then the Kraken's all-pro running back was out for the game.
We're halfway to a new GFL champion, and what a game! Ariok Morningstar's kick put the Krakens up 10-7 at the half. This is a defensive struggle. How much do field conditions play into that?
Massaro, the snow is definitely the cause of the low offensive output, but we're also looking at multiple injuries on both sides of the ball. Reports are that Don Pine broke his patella and is probably done for the day. On the Ionath side, defensive tackle Chat E. Rewrite is definitely out, as is Chodo the Bright, who has a broken middle right arm. That's two defensive starters out of the game. And if Jew Tweedy doesn't return, the Krakens will probably split carries between Becca the Rekka Montaigne and Yasud Murphy, neither of which is the kind of punishing dominant back that Jew is.
Chick, that means the Krakens running game will struggle. But at the same time, the Jacks have to rely on backup quarterback Rich Amui to lead them to the title. I'm not sure how effective C.J. Wellman will be running the ball for the Jacks if this playing surface continues to deteriorate in the second half.
Masara, you're right about that. The snow keeps coming down, and this turf's already looking more chewed up than a cow carcass dangled over a pit of starving Purist Nation orphans.
Chick, you can't say that kind of...
Sorry, Masara. Sorry, folks at home. They finished setting up for the halftime show. Let's give it over to Somalia Midori and Trench Warfare. The Krakens were ahead on the scoreboard, but you wouldn't have known it from looking at the training room. Chodo the Bright had already taken off his jersey and upper body armor. He had a splint on his right middle arm. He stared at the ground, dejected. The warrior wasn't alone. Key defensive tackle Chat E. Rearit sat half-submerged in a rejuve tank made for his species. He didn't seem upset at all. In fact, he munched away on a bag of spider snacks that floated in the pink liquid and seemed elated that, win or lose, for the rest of his life, he could say that he'd played in the Galaxy Bowl. Doc Patah fluttered near Jew Tweedy. Jew's muddy jersey lay in a pile on the floor, shoulder armor unceremoniously dropped on top of it. Jew's cool suit clung to his well-defined muscles like a black second skin. He was trying to walk, but each step made his face wrinkle with pain.
See, Doc, he said, I'm fine. I'm going back in.
The only thing you're going in is the rejuve tank, Jew. You pulled a ligament.
A look of anger replaced Jew's expression of pain.
Doc, damn it, just shoot me up with something or whatever. I have to get back in the game.
I could shoot you up with every painkiller in the galaxy and it wouldn't help a torn ligament,
Doc Patah said.
And even if I operated right now, it would take you 2 days to recover. You're out.
Jew snarled and grabbed at Doc Patah. The hurrah's wings fluttered, carrying him back a few feet. Jew tried to give chase, but as soon as his foot planted, his face scrunched up in agony, and he fell. Quentin walked to him and knelt.
Jew, take it easy.
Jew lay face down on the training room floor, face in his hands. He shook his head. Quentin saw tears in the big human's eyes.
Q, I gotta go back in. This is my time. I can't let the team down.
To have come this far, an entire career spent working toward this moment to suffer a game-ending injury? Quentin's heart broke for his friend. John came over as well. He gently helped Jew sit up.
You did good, baby brother.
Quentin put a hand on Jew's shoulder.
You scored a touchdown in the Galaxy Bowl. How many Sentients can say that?
Jew wiped away the tears of frustration.
But the second half, we can win this thing.
Can and will, Quentin said.
John tussled his younger brother's sweaty hair.
You did your part. You made Ma proud. You made me proud. We'll bring it home.
Jew sniffed. His jaw muscles twitched.
Go get your suit, he said. Tell him to come talk to me. I've got some info on how the D-line is playing.
Sure, Quentin said. I'll go get him right now.
And I am not crying, Jew said. No shucking way I'm crying.
John smiled.
Hell no, bro. It's the pain meds. Messing with your feminine side is all.
Quentin left the training room. He walked into the central locker room. The entire team was gathered around the holo board, listening to Coach Hokor outline new blocking schemes. Quentin walked up to stand next to Hokor. The coach and the team looked at him expectantly.
Murphy, come with me, Quentin said. Also, Prochnow, Darkeye, Shayet, Martinez, and Pishore. Let's go.
Quentin turned and walked to the human locker room. He heard players scrambling to follow him, heard Coach Hokor continue his talk. Quentin knew he should be there for Hokor's adjustments, but the coach would let him know if there was anything critical. For now, there was something more important that had to be done. In the human locker room, Quentin looked at his teammates. Mud covered the jersey and face of Jason Prochnow, the rookie defensive tackle. Yasud was a bit cleaner, but that would change quickly once the third quarter started. Samuel Darkeye, Shyatt the Thick, and rookie Pishore the Fang would all rotate in to fill Chodo's spot at right outside linebacker. Jay Martinez, another running back, would be called upon when Yasud needed a rest. Quentin stared at them each in turn.
This is your dream, he said. You won't be riding the bench in the second half. You'll be playing in the Galaxy Bowl. Step up to the challenge. Play big, and you'll be wearing a championship ring.
They stared back at him, their eyes fixed with determination.
This is your moment, he said. Give every last breath out there, because you may never get a chance like this again.
Four human heads nodded. The stubby antenna of Shyatt the Thick and Pishore the Fang bobbed. Quentin put his hand on Yasud's shoulder pad.
Ju asked to see you. Go talk to him. We need you, Sud. Can you deliver?
Yasud smiled and stroked his braided beard. There was no fear in those eyes, just confidence. Confidence and want.
Let me put it to you this way, Hayseed, he said. If I'd have known that I'd play the second half, I would have bet way more on this game.
Quentin took the snap and turned left. He extended the ball for Yasud, but pulled it back at the last second as Yasud snapped his arms down for a fake handoff. Quentin turned and ran right, the ball on his right hip in hopes of hiding it from the defense for just a few precious seconds. His blockers kept going left, leaving him all alone heading right, a naked boot play. Sometimes the naked boot would fool the defense and give him tons of open space, but this wasn't one of those times. The Jacks' left defensive end, Tony Jones, ran hard to the outside, cutting Quentin off from reaching the sidelines and turning it upfield. Quentin would have to pass or cut back inside where the rest of the Jacks' defense would get him. He looked for open receivers. Downfield, Halawa was cutting right on a flag pattern that would take her to the corner of the end zone. She was covered. Closer in, Crazy George turned on an out pattern toward the right sideline. He was also covered, but there was just enough space to throw. The closer Quentin ran to the sidelines, the better the footing became. Those areas hadn't been chewed up by nonstop pounding cleats. Quentin stutter-stepped to stop his forward momentum, then stepped up to pass, and was blasted from behind. The ball flew out of his hands as a big body drove him hard into the snowy white turf. Everything went black. He didn't know how long that lasted, but he came to with his head pounding, his ears ringing, and the sound of a roaring crowd filling the cold stadium. Quentin slowly got to his feet. He turned to look back downfield. The metal jersey Jupiter Jacks were in the end zone, jumping and high-fiving and generally having a good time. Yasud walked up and put a hand on Quentin's shoulder. Did I fumble?
Oh, yep.
And they ran it back for a touchdown?
Oh, yep. We better get back to the sidelines, Q. You took a pretty good shot.
The fumble return for a touchdown gave Jupiter a 13-10 lead, with the extra point still to come. Quentin tried to fight down the pain as he jogged to the sidelines. Hokor was waiting for him.
Coach, who hit me? I'm so sorry.
Barnes, shut up!
Hokor twirled his pedipalp hand inward, telling Quentin to come down to his level. Quentin knelt.
Barnes, this is the Galaxy Bowl. Great players make great plays. Zhu Chang came on a corner blitz from the right, chased you all the way across the field, and nailed you. She made a big play, so now you have to get out there and make one for us. Understand?
Quentin nodded. He looked up to the holo board and watched the replay. Hokor was right. Just as Quentin had reared back the throw, Zhu Chang had hit him in the back, bending him like a rag doll.
Impressive,
Hokor said.
It would seem anything getting hit that hard should have an impact, Crater, but I do not see one on your face.
Quentin looked at his coach. Hokor's pedipalps were shaking.
Coach, did you just make a joke?
I did,
Hokor said.
I am told that I'm very fun at parties. You fumbled, they scored. Put it behind you and win me this game.
Hokor walked away. Quentin stood there as a stream of teammates walked by, slapping his shoulder pads and saying, "Don't worry about it, Q." He took a deep breath. Great players make great plays. Hell, if Coach could actually joke about it in the biggest game of their lives, then Quentin wouldn't let it haunt him. He just had to get those points back. As time expired in the third quarter, he watched the Jacks kicker knock home the extra point. Jupiter 14, INF 10, one quarter left to play. The fourth quarter came, and still the snow poured down. The wind picked up, driving at the falling white, making the countless flakes swirl and dance. The temperature had dropped again.
Each step crunched into thin crystals of ice forming on the surface of exposed, black-red mud. Every breath puffed out as a thin cloud that was quickly lost in the blowing snow. 15 minutes remained. Just 4 points separated the two teams. A championship hung in the balance. For one squad, glory everlasting. The other would become nothing more than a footnote, a name quickly forgotten. Quentin had been patient. He'd played conservative. He'd avoided risks. The High One had laced Quentin's left arm with lightning. If history was to be written, Quentin would write it his way. He was a born gunslinger, and now the bullets would fly. The Kraken started the fourth quarter's first drive on their own 23-yard line. Quentin ignored his battered body and just threw. He hit Starcher for 8 yards, then Denver for 15, Halawa for 7, Terrell the Freak for 12, and then Terrell again on a little 5-yard pattern that the mutant warrior turned into a 17-yard gain when he broke a pair of tackles. On 1st and 10 from the Jupiter 20, the Jacks' defensive backs moved up close into bump-and-run coverage on his receivers, cutting off Quentin's short throws. Quentin threw his first incompletion of the drive, then handed off to Yasud on 2nd down for a 5-yard gain. On 3rd and 5, Quentin took the snap and dropped back, his feet crunching through the mud's thin covering of ice. The Jacks' two key tackles blasted through the line and were on him immediately, an attacking wall of metal colors and angry eyes. Quentin didn't even have time to scramble. He went down as 1,000-plus pounds of angry linemen drove him into the rapidly solidifying ground. This time, at least, he held on to the ball. He limped off the field. His right knee wasn't obeying. It hurt like hell. Quentin didn't think there was any major damage, and hopefully Doc Batak could tweak it enough to make the pain go away. Quentin stopped at the sidelines and turned to watch his field goal unit line up. A 42-yard attempt to cut the lead to just a single point. Arioch had been playing lights out all season. Could he hit one more? Budoschwak snapped the ball. Yitzhak caught it and placed it. 1,000 cameras flashed in the stands as Arioch Morningstar, the smallest sentient on the team, stepped up and did his thing. The backward-spinning brown leather ball sailed through the air. Quentin held his breath, watching it apex and then descend. It split the uprights a good 10 feet above the crossbar. Field goal, good. Jupiter 14, Ionath 13. Quentin turned and hobbled toward the med benches.
Doc, get over here and do your magic!
Quentin sat on a med bench at the back of the Ionath sideline. He kept his eyes closed and his hands locked on the bench as Doc Batas slid a needle into his knee over and over, injecting some kind of painkiller and nanomed concoction beneath the skin.
Young Quentin, your right knee is damaged,
Batas said.
I can make it function, but you should strongly consider coming out of the game.
Quentin actually laughed. He shook his head.
Doc, you crack me up.
The crowd got louder, then roared. But it wasn't the sound of a score or a turnover. Quentin looked up to the holo display. What he saw shocked him. Don Pine, a flexi cast around his knee, hobbling onto the field.
Doc, Quentin said, whatever you have to do, fix my damn knee and fix it now.
C.J. Wellman took the pitch from Don Pine and ran hard for the right sidelines, looking for a spot to turn it upfield. Quentin watched Kraken's linebacker Shyatt the Thick rush in. Wellman met Shyatt head-to-head and instantly spun away, the same move Quentin often used to break Quith Warrior tackles. Shyatt grabbed at Wellman's jersey but slipped off and fell face-first into the freezing red-black mud. He'd missed the tackle, but his efforts had forced Wellman to cut back inside toward Cormorant Bumberpuff. The Prawat came out of his pinwheel roll and ran forward on two legs, arms outstretched to catch Wellman. Wellman didn't have time to make another move, so he lowered his head and plowed forward into Bumberpuff, who took the hit, wrapped the running back up, and dragged him down. Whistles blew. Wellman got up, but Bumberpuff did not. The hurrah refs looked at Bumberpuff's limp form, then blew their whistles again to signify an injury timeout.
Oh dear,
Doc Patas said.
I am still not proficient in repairing that species.
Doc's wings fluttered. The hurrah shot out toward the fallen Kraken.
Quentin stood, testing his knee. It would have to do. He saw Vacaville run out onto the field. The much-maligned Sklorno cornerback now had to cover for the Prowat starter. The med sled carted Bumberpuff off the field. Quentin watched the Jacks' offense huddle up. Pine called the play. The Jacks ran to the line. Pine limped behind them, hitch-stepping along on his braced right leg. If Quentin were in Don's shoes, he would go after Vacaville on the first play.
Come on, girl. Time to step up and make a play.
Don lined up in the shotgun. He put a player in motion from right to left, leaving receiver Beaverdam alone just inside the right sideline, covered one-on-one by Vacaville. The center long snapped the ball to Don. The line smashed into each other. Don stood tall as his receivers shot downfield. He turned right and pump faked, and as he did, Quentin's heart sank. He knew what was about to happen. Vacaville tried to jump the route, and Beaverdam shot down the sidelines. Don fired a tight spiral that hit Beaverdam 20 yards downfield. Weasley pinwheeled over fast, but Beaverdam threw a wicked head-and-shoulders fake and cut inside. The move was enough to give her a step, and a step was all she needed. Beaverdam ran into the end zone with Weasley and Vacaville trailing behind. Quentin set his helmet on the ground. He rubbed his face with both hands. The Jacks kicker knocked home the extra point. Jupiter 21, Ionath 13, with 8 minutes and 24 seconds left in the game.
And that was the MVP episode number 34. Again, smack dab in the middle of the Galaxy Bowl. Will Quentin and the Krakens become champions of the GFL, champions of the universe, or will they fall short? And will Don Pine put his third championship ring on his fingers? You're going to have to stay tuned to find out. And you know what? There's only four episodes left. Now that you completed that, that's right. 4 episodes left to finish up the Galaxy Bowl. See what happens after, if anything happens. I really hope you guys are enjoying it. We're really into the climax of the MVP right now. I'm having a ton of fun with it. I hope you are too. Something I forgot to mention, we have brand new Krakens away jerseys. These are the NFL quality jerseys. The original Krakens jerseys are out. They are running out of stock of that particular blank jersey. So there's a brand new design. You can see that over at scottsigler.com. Go to there. There's a Friday fix. Scroll down below episode number 34. You should see a video of me pimping a brand new jersey. You can see what it looks like. It's pretty cool. Also at the blog, you're going to have to scroll down a bit. I've got a blog post about a gentleman named Jack Lawrence, who's 20. He hails from Essex over in the UK. And he is a football player for the Essex Spartans. This is not European football. No, it is American football. It is gridiron. Jack sent me an email. He actually sent a picture to Facebook, posted a picture of him all geared up with his shoulder pads and everything, wearing a Krakens jersey. So he was all geared up in football gear, wearing the orange Krakens jersey I just told you guys about. I wrote back to him, Facebook back to him. I'm like, dude, what is this? You say this is your practice jersey. What are you doing? So he sent me an email talking about how he had heard about Siglerism in the books on a podcast called The Masters of None. Heard about Infected. The guys who host that podcast thought it was a good book, and he checked it out. He wound up going through Infected, Contagious, Ancestor, Earthcore, tore through everything that was available. Finally wound up reading the GFL books because there was nothing left. Exactly as I have planned it from square one. Anyways, he read that. You're going to have to go to the blog and read it. It's a really cool story. He fell in love with the concept of football. He was telling one of his buddies about it. A buddy he had lost touch with was just reconnecting. Turns out that buddy was a wide receiver for the Essex Spartans. Jack, who has never played competitive sports or never liked competitive sports, never been good at them, has never played American football, decided, screw it, he was going to go to the open tryouts they have, try out for the team. Wound up getting his clock cleaned, as most of us do when we start out the sport, but he has persevered and now is an offensive lineman for the Essex Spartans, all because of the rookie in the GFL books. If you want a little bit of a heartwarming story, go to scottsigler.com, find that blog post. It's really cool. The kid has really found himself. He's really enjoying the game of American football.
And finally, if you're not watching my weekly video show, Monstrosity, what are you doing? Go to youtube.com/Scott Sigler and see the latest episodes of the show where I cover a few brief stories in the worlds of horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. And I try and tell bad jokes. And this week, you get to see my horrible Fu Manchu mustache, the remnants of the Red Wings playoff beard. Sadly, the vile, disgusting people from Chicago beat my Red Wings overtime, game 7. Blackhawks move on. I hope they win the cup. Red Wings get some time off. The Red Wings beard had to get shaved down. I shaved it into this disgusting, pervy, pedophiliac Fu Manchu. So, you know, it's the kind of mustache where if I get in my car, roll down the window, you know, kind of put my arm on the window while I'm driving, and then drive by grade schools, it's going to make people very nervous. It's not a good look for me. It's really not a good look. That's it for this episode. Do tune in next week for episode number 35 of the MVP, and I will talk to you all real soon. You have been listening to the MVP, book 4 in the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by A. Kovacs and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.